Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'm glad to be here with you. I have been perusing the automotive news publication that I look at once a week because that's how often it comes. And that's where I get a lot of my news from the auto industry, since I am totally turning my back on regular news. I am probably a week and a half in with my banishment of network news because, and you know, I'm just feeling so at peace and free and not frustrated. Just try it. Do me a favor. Just try it. Just don't watch any news, period. Resist the temptation. You'll be surprised how hard it is because you're addicted to it. I know you are. You just can't wait to, you know, pull up that Fox News app or that CNN app or whatever app you happen to be using on your smartphone, or watching the news, listening to talk radio stuff. Just don't do it. Don't listen to anybody else's opinion about anything. Just listen to your wife. Whatever she tells you to do, do it, and you will be happy. But I do look at automotive news because automotive news talks about the things that I am interested in from a business standpoint. And one of the things that is really being bantied about right now is the future of the basically the auto dealer, franchise laws, and the way states look at auto dealers and how protected they are from a lot of these internet companies like Tesla that want to bypass the middleman. So I am a middleman. Thing is, Henry Ford, you blame Henry Ford for it because he set up the middleman structure. You know, when he started building Model Ts, he was using every means possible to try to get the word out. He sold them through Sears catalogs, Montgomery Ward. I guess they didn't really have direct mail at that time. You could put a letter in the mail. But, you know, they didn't have the resources that we do to break down the market and see who needs to get the message. No YouTube. Can you believe that? But there's a lot of talk about whether you need dealers anymore. Do you? Do you need a car dealer? Would it be easier? Some of you are saying, heck no, we don't need a car dealer. They're just a bunch of crooks. Well, they aren't. Well, there are some bad ones. There's no doubt about that. It's usually not the people that work in the office or work in the service department or the manager, the guy that owns the dealership. Usually they're pretty good people. Occasionally, you'll have some folks that are extremely greedy in the front end in the sales department, and they will, let's say, go skew the truth a little bit to get a car sold. Been much less of a problem recently because it is definitely a seller's market right now, and it has been for about a year and a half now. And so we've been riding a wave I've never been on this surfboard. Can't surf either. I've tried it. Can't do it. But I can sail. You ever sail one of those little AMF sunfishes? Do you remember those little? It looks like a surfboard with a sail. I was good at that. Enjoyed the heck out of it. But this particular wave, I've not ridden where the supply was way, way less than the demand. And so there's going to be equilibrium come about at some point. But folks, they just keep telling us it's, maybe next year. Yeah, maybe, you know, mid-2024, this thing will start to work itself out. Because there's so many other constraints in the market than just computer chips. A lot of it's just personnel. And still the pandemic is rearing its ugly head. You know, one of the reasons we couldn't get certain Nissans was because basically the factories in Tennessee, in Smyrna, Tennessee, where they build Nissans, most of the Nissans, was continuing to crank out Rogues and Pathfinders and stuff like that. But guess what? They didn't have an instrument cluster, which means there's no speedometer, no tachometer, no gas gauge and stuff like that. All that's made in one. Those were made outside of Shanghai, and China was shut down because of the pandemic. They have a zero tolerance policy in China. If somebody gets sick, they shut the place down. I think that's overkill, but I'm not running China. So we look at the franchise and you think, okay, well, why do we need car dealers? Well, you think about access to me is important. I guess you're familiar with Dollar General, right? You go down any country road, and within probably 5 or 10 miles, you're going to run into a Dollar General. They figured out one thing, that access is very important. You know, there's basically five things that determine the success or failure of a business. And those five things are price, product, service, access, and experience. So price is obvious. That's what does this particular product cost? Product, is the product a quality product? Or is it a piece of junk? You know, is it or something in between? This whole concept applies to any product or really any service as well, because service can be a product. You know, if you're an insurance agent, you know, you're not really selling a product. You're selling a service, a policy that will do something for you if you expire, or your family won't do anything for you. But, you know, that's their product. Let me ask you this. Who sells better products, Walmart or Target? Now, there's a lot of people will say, well, Walmart, yeah, their products are okay, and, you know, they have some high-quality products, but most of it's just kind of middle of the road, isn't it? I don't know. I don't shop there that much. I think I've only been in a Walmart like twice in the last year. But I've always heard that Target is just a little bit higher quality product. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But let's just pretend. Let's pretend that it is. So if you look at price, product, service, access, and experience, what's the dominant attribute at Walmart? That's correct. It's price. And then what would be a secondary attribute? Would it be service, access, experience, or product? I guess some people would say it's access would be a secondary attribute. I think it could be product because of the vast selection that they have in a Walmart. So I'd say price is first, product is second. What would you say about Target? Would you say price is first? I wouldn't. I think most experts would say no, it's probably product. And it may be experience as well. You walk into a Target. Does it feel different from a Walmart? Does it look different? You know, Walmarts look fairly utilitarian to me, whereas Target looks a little fancier. You know, there are fancier stores. Okay, let's look at another example would be grocery stores. Okay, let's look at Fresh Market versus Food City. Now, what's Fresh Market? What is their primary attribute that they're going after? They're trying to dominate in one area. What is it? Well, I think it's product. And a secondary attribute would definitely not be price. That's not what they're going after. Now, maybe they're average. Maybe they're high in price. I don't know. But I think the experience is really cool there. Don't you? And the service is good as well. I mean, you look up and act like you're lost, and somebody's saying, can I help you? You know, but I really love just the display of the vegetables, you know, the way the meat looks. I kind of just like being in a Fresh Market. It's just pretty, you know, and they got all those displays and stuff around the top. And it's just, like I say, the way they stack the vegetables and the meat department. And so anyway, you compare that to Food City. Food City is, what is their primary attribute? What are they talking about all the time? Price. And so, you know, you look at this in relationship to dealerships, car dealers, and you say, okay, what attributes should dealers be going after? Well, if you pay attention to any kind of advertising, you would say that most of them are bragging about price all the time, wouldn't you? Now, there are some dealers out there that are still bragging about price, even though they're charging way over window sticker for stuff, you know, and some of them are saying, you know, we'll pay you $10,000 over book value for your trade, or, no, let me rephrase that, we'll pay you up to $10,000 over book value for your trade. Of course, they can't do that. It's a shell game. So pricing is a very nebulous thing when it comes to car dealers. So what happens if Well, you look at Tesla, for example. Everything sold at MSRP. There is no negotiation. Of course, there are no Tesla dealers. They'll deliver one to your house if you want it. But what if you need service? What do you do then? Drive to Knoxville. If you can get an appointment, you know, what if your Tesla is shut down? Now, if you're driving a Ford and you break down in Johnson City, well, there's Johnson City Ford. There's Fairway Ford in Kingsport. There's Friendship Ford in Bristol. There's Gateway Ford in Greenville. There's a Ford dealer, I think, in Elizabethan. You know, we're ubiquitous. Same thing with Chevrolet. Now, Toyota, a little bit thinner. I mean, there's not as many Toyota dealers. There's not as many Honda dealers. But there's one in each of the Tri-Cities. And if you need service, what are they? If you call them and say, hey, I need to get my car picked up, it's not running, what's going to happen? They're going to come pick it up and they're going to fix it and they're probably going to give you a loaner car. Does that have anything to do with price? No. Does it have anything to do with product? No. We're all selling, like all Ford dealers are selling the same product. We cannot compete against each other based on product. Now, we can as far as selection is concerned, but not now because nobody has any selection. And if they go to the future model, which they're saying in this article that they're going to do, that means that we will have lower inventories to choose from and more people are going to be ordering their cars. Now, if they're going to be ordering their cars, do you want to do that? Do you want to order a $50,000 investment online and have them deliver it to your house? I'm sorry, but that's not like buying soap powders to me or toilet paper. That's a little bit bigger commitment. I'd rather do that with people that I know and trust and can look at across, you know, sit across from them. But there's some people, you know, this younger generation, they don't want to know you. They don't need any new friends. That's what they say anyway. All right, we'll continue this discussion right after my first break. Okay, I'm back. So the franchise system is under threat, and it's under threat because of Tesla, because of Rivian, because of Amazon even. You know, because people have gotten used to using their smartphone and their computer and, you know, kind of getting away from what a lot of people have experienced as an unpleasant thing of going to a dealership and having to buy a car. It's become a stressful thing. I don't disagree at all that that could be made a heck of a lot easier. I think we've made great strides at that at our dealership, and other dealers have as well. Others, you know, when you arrive at their lot, you pull into a parking place and you are swarmed, you know, by people. Or, you know, what I really like is to drive onto a car dealer lot and see about eight of them sitting up there. And they're all staring at you. All of them are looking at you saying, you want him, Bob? Nah, he doesn't look like a buyer to me. Looks too young. You know, they're evaluating and thinking. And then finally, the low man on the totem pole gets to go out and wait on you. And you end up buying a $50,000 car in about 15 minutes, and all the other guys are saying, shoot! Yeah, that happens, and I can understand why people wouldn't want to have to go through that. But, you know, there's some great salespeople in this market, great dealers who have high expectations of their people. I don't think the expectations are high enough, but, you know, it's really hard to get good people as well. Let's get back to the attributes. We got price, product, service, access, and experience. So level playing field, if everything's for MSRP, it's going to be level playing field as far as that's concerned. Now, the only flexible area you would have would be in the trade-in value. But, you know, that's going to be relatively close from dealer to dealer unless you run into a crook. Price, product's going to be level. Service, that's where the differentiation starts. What kind of service are they going to provide? You know, as far as the car buying experience and after. Okay, so you've got a Tesla. It won't run. It's sitting in your driveway. What do? You call Tesla or send them a message, say, I need somebody to come pick this thing up. In the meantime, what do? Well, they might rent you a car. I don't know. I don't own a Tesla. But that's inconvenient. You know, they may offer to tow, pick it up, take it to Knoxville. Put new batteries in it. How long is that going to take? I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me. I'd rather just go down to my local Chevy store, pull in the service drive, and talk to Bob. He's my service advisor. He's my make-believe service advisor. Bob, and, you know, he's a nice guy. He talks to me. I've seen pictures of his family on his desk and all that stuff. And, you know, when I call Bob, well, you know, whenever I call, Bob answers the phone, and he takes care of me. I like that better. That's something you get from a local businessman, a local new car dealer that you don't get from Tesla and some of these other companies. I mean, Ford's even talking about doing it now where you order your electric vehicle and it will come to your house. And, you know, it's just like buying a microwave oven. But it's not. It's more complicated than that. Maybe some of you are saying, no, it's not. It's not complicated. I can read a manual. Okay, fine. Okay, so access. Access is important, and you're not going to beat the access that you have with the dealer setup that we have now in this country, the franchise dealer. You know, another thing a franchise dealer is, the advantage of that is they are your neighbors. They are community people. Not all of them. I mean, granted, Auto Nation, there is no man named Auto Nation that lives on Run Street in Johnson City. No. That's a big company. They have like, I don't know, 8 gazillion dealerships. That's a little different. That's why I wouldn't buy a car from them. I shouldn't have said that. I would buy a car. Well, maybe not. But still, if you have, I don't know, local dealer like Joe Tarillo, for example, I mean, he's one of the founders and owner. I think there's just two owners of Johnson City Honda, you know, and Joe's a great guy, and he's got a vested interest in your happiness. He wants you to be happy. If you have a big issue and you walk into Johnson City Honda and say, I want to talk to the main man, they're going to let you talk to the guy that owns it. And to me, that's a big advantage. Let's see. You got to be nice, though. So access is important, and experience. Now, how do you define experience? Well, it's just like Fresh Market. You know, when I walk in, immediately hits me in the face. First thing, what do they have on display there? That's right, flowers. Puts me in a good mood. Black-eyed Susans and roses and carnations, and all of a sudden I'm ready to buy some groceries. And then they have the stacks, mounds of fruit, and free coffee. Now, the cups are small, but it's free. You can't beat that. So I'm drinking out of that little miniature cup, following my wife around and stuff, and she gets stuck in the vegetable section, and where do I go? I'm a guy, man. I go to the meat. I want to see the meat. And, boy, they have it, and it's expensive. But I don't care because it looks good, and their people are very knowledgeable. I like the experience. I like the service. I like the product, and am I willing to pay for it? Yes, otherwise I'd be buying bologna at, you know, Joe's Bologna Mart. So, you know, these kind of things are what I guess the big decision makers in the auto industry are trying to say, do we need dealers? But I'll tell you this, they're going to have a hard time getting rid of us because there are state franchise laws and dealers give a lot of money to politicians. And we have a powerful lobby in NADA and TAA, which is Tennessee Automobile Dealers Association. But, you know, car dealers are reasonable people. And they see the handwriting on the wall. They see what's going on with Tesla and all this, and they're going to negotiate a deal. We're not going to have protests. We're not going to go, you know, threaten to kill somebody or anything. We're just going to go to these meetings and talk and work out some type of a compromise that is in the best interest of all parties involved. Now, you tell me if that wouldn't be a great way for our government to work, because it would. I don't know that it ever did work that way. Maybe it did. I don't know. I never was an insider as far as politicians are concerned. There's always been a lot of shady folks in government, and I think we can trust local government. We can trust state government. When it gets to the federal level, it's quite the cluster, but anyway, we're going to be fighting the fight to stay relevant, and we understand the importance of these attributes, and we know that, you know, what the expectations are of our customers, and we have to deliver those, or guess what? We go out of business. We are motivated to do it right. I talked to a guy at my cardiac rehab the other day, and he was on the treadmill, and he said, "You're a car dealer?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you wouldn't like me at all." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I'm driving I think it was a 1999 Cavalier or something like that. I don't trust car dealers." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What do you do for a living?" "I work at home." "Well, I don't trust you." "No, I didn't say that." You know, isn't it funny what that sometimes people, they find out what you do, and all of a sudden they can say anything they want to you because you're one of them. I never do that. But that's where we are. I'll take my last break, be back here in just a second. Okay, don't buy an EV right now. Another thing in this automotive news was talking about a study that finds, it was just recently done. Of course, I don't know if it matters or not because it was done in San Francisco, but they found that of the 657 connectors at 181 public direct current fast charging stations, that's where you'd want to go if you want to charge your Tesla or your whatever in a hurry, is you go to a DC charger. And you plug into that, and you should be able to get enough juice to, you know, in about 40 minutes or so. They say 40 minutes to get an 80% charge. Well, they found that 23% of those chargers are not functioning. That's comforting. I don't know if that ever happens at a Tesla. I'd like somebody to call me if you drive a Tesla. We need to talk. 423-552-2020. Lenny Lawson. 423-552-2020. I want to really talk to somebody that owns one and really find the truth about what they run into when they travel and if they ever run into charger issues. I like to get it from the horse's mouth, don't you? But, yeah, what's going to hurt the large-scale adoption of EVs is confidence in the infrastructure. You know, I know that I can go to a gas station, I can fill up, and there's gas stations everywhere. But this whole charging thing concerns me. Now, if you're just going to use it locally around, you know, East Tennessee or something like that, then fine. At least you're not paying $5 a gallon. Thank you, Washington. You will be able to charge. It's not free, though. Don't think that because, you know, you pull up to something and you're sucking the electricity out of somebody's building. Like, I've got three chargers outside of Gateway, and people just pull up, just plug in, you know. They don't even ask. I guess it says publicly somehow there's something that tells people that Gateway Ford has chargers, public chargers, and they just go up. Nobody comes in and say, hey, should I give you a quarter or something? They just load up. I saw a, what was it? I can't remember what it was. I think it was a Volvo out there plugged in one day, and I asked one of the salespeople, I said, who's that? I said, I don't know. They just drove up and plugged in. Well, that's weird. You know, you at least think they would come in and ask. Because there's no place, it's not like a Coke machine. There's no place to put the money in. It's just out there. I may have to block it. Put a car in front of it or something to keep people from using. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, thanks for listening to this Monday edition of My Car Guru. I always appreciate you. Again, call me if you need me for any reason, 423-552-2020 or LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. And I will see you tomorrow.